Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. And Isaac didn't say a word. He was submissive to his father, Abraham. Here we see Yeshua doesn't speak a word. He allowed them to bind him. He could have spoken a word and destroyed all his enemies right then and there, as he can do it today if he wishes. But no, he doesn't say anything. He allowed them to bind him and to be led as a sheep to the slaughter. We learn from him here the reason that he came. Beloved brothers and sisters, we are always moved when we think of the purpose of the coming of the Mashiach. He didn't come here to improve things. He came to pay the price for our sin. He needed to become that sacrifice, the Lamb of God, which will take away the sin of this world. And so they led him away bound. And so he's arrived now to Pilate. Now Pilate was a wicked man. Our own Jewish people were under the authority of the Romans for years. Later on, the Romans will destroy the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD and burn it all the way to the ground. And many of our own Jewish people will be scattered, being taken as captives, as slaves. And over a million of Jewish people will die by the Romans. And that man by the name of Pilate was the governor in Judea. And so we read here in verse 2, Pilate now asking him a question. Now I'm sure he heard already years before about Yeshua, the king of Israel. And so he asked him a question, and notice Yeshua, Jesus, respond. He says, Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Ha'im ata melech ha-Yehudim? We say this in Hebrew as you read the Hebrew text. And notice the answer of Yeshua. He says, "You said it. Thou said it." In other words, the Lord did not deny the fact that he was the king of the Jewish people. You see, already 33 years before, when the wise men came from the east, they came to Jerusalem in the days of Herod the Great. And they asked, "Where is he that was born, the king of the Jews? He is the king that was promised to Israel." Already long ago, God promised to David, he said, "Of your own descendant, of your own bowels, I will raise one," 2 Samuel chapter 7, "who will be the ruler over my people Israel." He is the promised king that God had promised our people of old, the people of Israel. And so he's asking this question. You know, it was Jeremiah who said, the prophet of Israel, at about 600 BC, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord Jehovah is our righteousness." In other words, the promised king of Israel was already predicted by the prophet Samuel, David, by all the prophets of Israel. When the Messiah will come, he will be the king of the Jews, the king of Israel. But you see, the very same prophets of Israel said that at the first coming of the Messiah, he will be despised and rejected. But at the second coming of the Messiah, he will be accepted and acknowledged and ultimately reign as King of Kings and the King of the Jews. But at this point of time, at his first coming, as Isaiah said, that he will be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow that had been acquainted with grief. And so Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Yeshua answered, and he said, "You said it. It came out of your own mouth. You are the one who is saying it." And apparently Pilate knew very well what many of the multitude who believe in Yeshua the Messiah in Israel have acknowledged him. Just a few chapters earlier, they've hailed him as the king of the Jews. "Hosanna! Hosanna to the king of Israel, to the king of the Jews." But now notice what happened. The moment Yeshua answered him about this question, Yeshua was now accused before Pilate by the spiritual leaders who did not want to acknowledge him. And that's why you notice these next verses, 3, 4, and 5. "And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him, saying," verse 4, "saying, answer thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." And verse 5 said, but Yeshua yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. You notice three times we read the word, "he answered nothing." Now, why he didn't answer? You see, when Pilate asked him whether he was the king of the Jews, he answered, "You said it." When the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the son of the Blessed One?" he said in chapter 14, "And I am." But anything else that they said accused him, he never said a word. And this reminds us, beloved brothers and sisters, that again, when the Messiah was going to come, he was not going to force his way upon anyone. He came first of all as a lamb to go to the slaughter. You see, that's what attracted us about him. What do you think attracts us so much about this person of Yeshua in contrast to all humanity? Whether they are rulers, or whether they are governors, or whether they are kings, or whether they are presidents or prime ministers, there is the pride that is existing in the human race, in you and I as well. But something about this man that attract our hearts is that he was the unique one, the one that came from heaven to really display what God had expected from humanity, who fail altogether. Again, I'm reminding you once again of what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53. We read, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all." And then verse 7 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." He was really fulfilling exactly what Isaiah 750 years prior to the coming of the Messiah predicted about Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel, the King of the Jews, the Savior of sinners. But he opened not his mouth. It reminds us of the lamb that being taken to the slaughter. What can he say? He doesn't say a thing. He's captured, he's tied, he's slaughtered, his blood is shed, and eventually he becomes an atonement, a sacrifice. And so Yeshua never opened his mouth. Beautiful to see the display that we have before us of the mannerism in which the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, behaved. And so how wonderful, how attractive it is to our own hearts as we read these verses. And so now, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 6 and 7, we learn Pilate every year had a certain custom during the feast of Pesach, Passover, to give our people Israel someone who was guilty to allow him to go out free. That was a custom to appease our own people. Pilate have done so. And so we read in verse 6, now at that feast, this is a feast of Pesach, Passover, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And notice that it says in verse 7, and there was one named Barabbas, and you notice that I read it in Hebrew, Bar Abba, which lay bound with them that had a rebellion, insurrection, with him who had committed murder in the insurrection, in the rebellion. Apparently, there were some rebels, and you know, in every generation, because our own people were under the Babylonian, then under the Medo-Persians, under the oppressions of the Grecian, and by now under the oppressions of the Romans. So from generation to generation, the Jewish community rose in seeking to rebel against those who were occupying the people of Israel. You can understand it. But apparently, in that particular time, there was one by the name of Barabbas, who was actually a murderer, as it says here in verse 7. And apparently, he killed someone and he was captured and he was now in prison. But it is not coincident, beloved brothers and sisters, that his name was Barabbas. In Hebrew, we call it Bar Abba. Bar means son, Abba means father, a son of the father. You know, now boys have become 13 years of age, they have bar mitzvah, the son of the law. Actually, the word for bar is not son. In Hebrew we say ben, but oftentimes we use, because the Aramaic and the Hebrew are very similar, at times we use the Aramaic in the Hebrew conversation, so we use bar mitzvah, here we have bar abba, the son of the father. But it's so interesting because the name of this rebel, this murderer, was son of the father, ben abba, bar abba. And Pilate, during this time, used to give an opportunity for the people of Israel to receive someone to be set free who was a prisoner, just to appease the nation. But what happened here, that there was a person specifically by the name of Son of the Father who was there in prison. So that was his custom. But you see what happened. The Bar Abba, who committed a murder and was a rebellion in prison, is now to be compared with the true Ben of the Father, the Son of the Father, Yeshua the Messiah. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 4 says, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. It's not a coincidence that we have this murderer by the name of Bar Abba and that innocent who was truly Bar Abba. You have the murderer here who is really guilty, and you have the innocent one who is being captured and bound. You have the one who was not the son of the father only by name, but you have the other who was truly the son of the father, and both of them are presented before the nation. And so we read in verses 8 to verse 11, the request of the multitude, and that multitude were some of those that followed the leadership of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that listening to what they have influenced them to say and to do. And so you find out that the multitude, notice verse 8, and the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. In other words, they requested from Pilate to do what he always have done, to release one of the prisoners to them. And so we read in verse 9, Pilate answered and said, will ye that I will release unto you the King of the Jews? Now notice, brothers and sisters, that really he's making mockeries, playing with the souls and the hearts of the people. And he knows very well what was going on. He's evaluating the situation. The religious leaders did not want him, did not accept him. So the multitude followed their leadership. Though many have accepted the Messiah in Galilee and elsewhere, the Judean, those areas, they follow the instructions of the spiritual leaders. And so he's playing, do you want me to release the king of the Jews? He doesn't say, do you want me to release Yeshua? He wants me to release the king of the Jews? And the answer, of course, notice that verse 10. For he knew, notice, he knows everything, that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, the spiritual leaders have envied the person of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. They wanted the authority that he had. They wanted the manner whereby people were following him, but they didn't have it because people didn't follow them because they knew them very well. They wanted to have what he had, and they could not have it, and they envied Yeshua, the Messiah, and because of envy, they influenced others to reject him as being the Messiah of Israel. And isn't it the same today in the church age? Most of the time, the problem that exists in the universal church today and all these issues and conflict is because the priests and the leaders are often influence mankind to follow after their opinion and their mannerism. And because of envy, they have caused the people to say that they should reject Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Now you notice in the Hebrew word, the word envy in Hebrew is kin'ah. Or lekanot. Now it is interesting, in the English you have two words, envy and jealousy. From the very same one single word, lekanot or kin'ah in Hebrew. But there is a difference between jealousy and envy. That's why in the Bible we read that God is a jealous God. We don't read that God is an envious God, but that he is a jealous God. What is the difference between the right way of understanding the word kin'ah? It's simply this. Jealousy, it means that you want the good of the one that you are jealous over. But envy is exactly the opposite. Envy is, I do not have something and I want it and I got to get it and therefore I will do anything I can in order to get it. And this is not jealousy. This is envy. Because they envied Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, we read here, they delivered him to Pilate because they envied what Yeshua had, which they did not have. We continue, and you notice in verse 11 what the multitude does? The many are following after their leaders. And so we read in verse 11, but the high priest moved the people, that they should rather release Bar-Abba, the man who was a murderer, unto them rather than Yeshua, who was truly the son of the Father, Ben-Ha-Abba. Can you imagine, beloved brothers and sisters, how sad the spiritual leaders, instead of leading the nation towards Yeshua, they have moved the nations to have a murderer released rather than an innocent man. The Bible teaches us that Yeshua was an innocent man. He was sinless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He was that unique one. There was no sin whatsoever in him, beloved brothers and sisters. But the chief priests have moved the people that they should rather release this murderer by the name of Bar-Abba, the son of the Father. And by releasing him, the true son of the Father, the Mashiach himself, eventually will be condemned to death. And so here we are in these verses 8 to 11, the responsibility of the priesthood. Now I want for a moment just to elaborate for a few minutes of the fact that in any generation, whether it is before Israel became a nation, or whether it is after, when the church was born and the time in which we live in today, that you will notice it's always the responsibility of the leaders to lead God's people in the right direction. And God always warns the leaders, whether it is Israel in our own history, or whether it is the church, the assembly today, he always warning the leadership of the people of God to lead God's people in the right way. But, look, he knew that it was going to happen. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 20 for a moment, the apostle Shaul Paul said in Acts chapter 20 to the leaders in the city of Ephesus, and he warned them, Verse 28, he said to them, take heed, therefore, unto your own selves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church, or the assembly of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And then he said in verse 29, for I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now Shaul Paul knew that these kind of things will happen, and that the people of God always have to be careful in who they are being led by, who they are listening to, and they need guidance and help by the Spirit of God through the Word of God to discern whether something is from the Lord or something is not. But look at this. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 11, the high priest moved the people that they should rather release a guilty murderer than an innocent man. Now, how is it possible? Well, you know how it is possible. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. Instead of being humble and broken and honest before God, we allow ourselves to be influenced by men who do not lead us in the ways of the Lord. And by the way, Satan is a crafty fallen angel who is the God with small g of this world, who have blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4. He blinded men in the past, he's blinding people in the present, and he will continue to blind people in a future day. And the only way to know the right way is when we go back to the scripture, humbly before the Lord, accept the word of God, and eventually recognize and realize who Yeshua the Messiah is. And so how sad that they were led astray by the very same leaders who should have led them in a right way. Just look at history, beloved brothers and sisters, and you will see how often time, again, whether it is in Israel history or church history, you will find out that it is the responsibility that God will have to deal with the leadership who lead God's people away from the person of Yeshua the Messiah. There is another few more verses that are very important. From verse 12 to verse 21, you notice now, first of all, Pilate now delivering Yeshua to be crucified. We read in verse 12, Pilate answered and he said again unto them, what will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? So you see, okay, the chief priests have moved the people to choose Barabbas the murderer. Then Pilate asking, well, what do you want me to do with Yeshua? Now again, you notice that he used the word the King of the Jews. Now, of course, Jesus, Yeshua, is the King of the Jews. He was born to be the King of the Jews. He will be one day the king of Israel, the king of the Jews. He one day will reign over our people Israel in a future day when Israel will open their eyes and accept him as the Messiah. But here he's mocking. He's really playing with them. What will you want me to do then with the one whom you call the king of the Jews? So they cried again and they said, crucify him. In other words, release Barabba, but crucify the true son of the father, Ben Ha'abba. Now, because of the influence, they cried, crucify him. And then now notice that it's so amazing. Verse 14, he said unto them, why? Why should I crucify him? What evil hath he done? What did he do wrong? What evil did he do? Now they couldn't find anything that he had done wrong. They could find in you. They could find in me. They could find in all humanity. But there was one man that never done anything wrong. He was sinless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He was born to the Virgin Miriam in the city of Bethlehem. He was the Mashiach of Israel that will have no sin in him if he was going to be able to save mankind here in this world. He could not have any sin in him. What has he done? Could you turn with me to John 18 for a moment? And I want you to see what Pilate actually knew very well about the person of Yeshua the Messiah. He asking, what evil hath he done? John chapter 18, verse 38, we read, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.